Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome you to worship today, whether you're here in person or watching online. May God bless you today. And as we begin, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for your grace, your mercy, your love. Thank you also for your power, that you can, through the Holy Spirit, transform our lives to make us more than we ever would have been on our own. And we praise you and thank you that you've thought of everything for our lives and provided everything we need for life and godliness. So we lean on you, Lord, and we look to you today as we gather on the first day of the week, as Christians have always done, to celebrate you, to lift you up and worship you and honor you, but also, Lord, to experience you in a special way as we're gathered together. Move in this time that we share together, Lord, as you always have, and may we glorify you more because of what you do in us. And we pray it in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. All right, let's stand together and let's sing. Okay, at this time we want to go to prayer. And so let's pray in a special way for Norma Goff. She fell and fractured part of her pelvis area. She had surgery on Saturday and is recovering from that. She sat up in a chair is the latest report we've received. So please pray for her. Pray for Chester also, as he's got to manage to take care of himself while she is laid up too. So please pray for both of them. And then pray also for Shirley Johnson. She's been transferred to a rehab center in Crown Point. She's very busy there. But please, please pray for her. She's in a serious health situation, so please continue to pray for her. And we want to pray for our nation and our world, still battling the virus, some good news and some bad news from around the world. Some are struggling to find jobs or to keep their jobs, and just a lot of concerns about the future. So, of course, as Christians, we want to put all of that in the Lord's hands and trust him more. And we want to be faithful disciples in all that we do. So, Joy, if you'll come to lead us in prayer.
I would ask that you're just comfortable wherever you are, bow your heads and close your eyes, and this just call upon the presence of the Lord to be with us as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity to be here in this place, wherever it is, this day. We love you because you first loved us. And Father, I pray that you will be with each and every person within the sounding of my voice, and that we will feel a renewed spirit just by the fact that we are going before the presence of the Almighty God and Creator. We love you so very much, and we are grateful for what you do for us. Let us each day start our day by giving thanks, by reflecting on our blessings, what you have done for us, what you are doing for us, and what you will be doing for us. There is just no end to your love and your mercy. Yes. Father, we ask forgiveness for the times when we fall short. I pray that we will be authentic in our spiritual lives, Lord. None of us have reached the pinnacle of spiritual health, but Father, we're on our way. As long as we're studying the Word, we're praying, and we're speaking to you through prayer. Let us love one another, Father, and reach out to one another. We think this morning especially of Norma and Shirley and Chester. They all have special needs, Lord. And we know that you are the great healer. You're the great counselor. And Father, I ask that you will put your arms around those that are suffering at this moment. Let them feel your presence. Let them feel your healing power surging from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. We believe in the miraculous gift of healing. And Father, we call upon you and your mighty power to do what is necessary in the lives of these loved ones. We pray also for Chester. And we just pray that he will remain strong in his faith, that he will remain safe physically, and that he will be able to care for himself until Norma gets home once again. We pray for our members of our families and friends, loved ones, who need to know your Son as their Savior. Yes. We pray, Father, that you will use us. Give us the words to say, the ears to hear, and just give us the ability to just be there for them, to show them our love. And Father, we just pray that we will continue lifting the needs of others in prayer. We give thanks for our nation that it appears to be getting better after this COVID. We know, dear God, there's a ways to go. But Father, we know that you are the mighty one. You will carry us through. And I give thanks that you have protected each and every one of us. We praise you. We give thanks. Father, I pray for each and every home that's represented here this morning. May our homes be havens of peace, where we put you at the center of our families. Be with our pastor as he brings us the message. And dear God, may each one of us take something from the message with us this week as we leave. Help us to remain strong in the faith, to be strong prayer warriors. And dear God, we love you so very much. And we give thanks for all that you are and all that you do. It's in your Son's holy and precious name that I pray. Amen.
Okay, at this time, usually we'd pass the plates, but we have plates at the back where you can give. We appreciate your faithfulness, whether you give online, in person, or through the mail. I dropped a check in this morning from someone who have mailed in a check this week, so we appreciate your faithfulness and stewardship. We are raising money now for our HVAC unit, and we'll need to raise that by the fall. Right now, we're just under $2,600 received out of $5,950 needed. So we appreciate your continued giving above and beyond your regular giving toward this special goal. All right, well, today is the day we remember Pentecost. And as we sang this morning about the Comforter has come, how the Holy Spirit arriving was fulfilling promises from God. And Jesus talks about that in our passage this morning. We're going to be in John chapter 15 and 16. So I'll ask you to stand in honor of God's word. We'll be in John chapter 15, beginning at verse 26. And then we'll jump down to chapter 16, verse 4. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. And then dropping down to verse 4 of chapter 16. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is God's word. You can be seated. So Jesus was leaving, at least in important ways he was leaving. The disciples may not have understood it fully, but perhaps they could feel it. And as Jesus is talking, you'd almost guess that their countenance changed. Because he said, oh, because I've just said this, your hearts are filled with sorrow. I think he could see it on their faces. Either way, Jesus knew what was about to happen. And he knew what was important about this time of change, about this transition. He knew that he needed to get the disciples ready for what was coming. They were going to need a direct connection to God, one that would remain in place even though he wouldn't be physically with them. And they were going to need help because they were going to have a great big task and they were going to need his touch. They were going to have to live in new ways without Jesus standing there as a physical example to follow. It's kind of mind-blowing if you think about how much God thought through in advance in sending Jesus in the way that he did and in providing for him. Jesus came into our world and opened us up to so much more of what God is, who God is, and how God works in the world. And God designed a relationship, a special kind of relationship, a relationship that's reflected in the presence of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And also that relationship that would now extend to us, that as all three would function in relation to human beings, better things would begin to happen. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit make up all of God as we know and experience God. But this had not yet been revealed, really, until about this time. The disciples were understanding that the Father and the Son were a big part of things, that they'd heard Jesus say that he was in the Father and the Father was in him, and if they've seen him, they've seen the Father. They were beginning to understand that the Father and Son together were a big part of ministering in their lives, but what they were missing, and what some people are still missing today, is the presence and understanding of the Holy Spirit. Now we know, as of last week, Jesus ascended into heaven, right? That he did go back physically and was no longer present here on the earth in the same way. And evidently, that opened the door for something special to happen in the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And maybe it had a lot to do with how the disciples were experiencing God in their lives. Maybe they needed that sense of separation for a time because it wasn't instantaneous. It wasn't Jesus physically gone, Holy Spirit poured out. Instead, Jesus had been telling them for a while now to wait in Jerusalem until they receive power from on high. Now, perhaps they could open themselves fully to the presence of the Holy Spirit because they had experienced the absence of Jesus being physically there. Well, today we stand in need of the exact same things, and we need to rely on the Lord for guidance in our lives. We tend to rely on the news that we see on TV, or we rely on our phones, or rely on what we hear from our friends. These days, if you're not careful, you can factor God right out of the equation without even realizing it. Here's a question to think about. If the Holy Spirit completely withdrew from your life, would you even notice? That's a question worth asking this morning in a time like ours. Now, we have the scriptures, so we have the Word of God to open and to read on those pages, whether you have a physical Bible, whether you do it through your phone or a tablet or on your computer. However it is, we have it available to us like no other time in history. We have it right at our fingertips in multiple translations. We can dig in with tools that are free to access, and we can learn and we can hear from God that way. So if we spend time there with open hearts and open minds, we're getting off to a very good start because that's where the Spirit will be leading us most of all. Because as we've seen in many occasions in the New Testament, starting in the Gospels and continuing through the book of Acts and the writings of Paul, that Jesus and the Holy Spirit can open our minds to understand the scriptures. Jesus did that when he was physically with the disciples several times. And when he did that, they were able to see and understand the long-range message that God was giving. And of course, on top of the scriptures, we have prayer. And through prayer, we can communicate directly with God. Now, too often, our times of prayer are simply us telling God what needs to happen, or us giving a list to God of the things that we want God to do. But really, prayer is meant to be a conversation with God. How can the Holy Spirit lead us if we aren't listening for the leading of the Holy Spirit? Amen? So when we are in times of prayer, we should be pausing. We should have it as quiet as we can have it, as often as we can. And we should be listening. Now, God doesn't always speak through an audible voice, but we tend to need other distracting sounds to be filtered out for us to be able to be in tune with what God may be saying to us. It's something we receive with our spirits. You know, Jesus said that God is spirit, and those who worship the Father worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we've got to get quiet, and we've got to filter out other distractions if we're really going to hear from God. But when we're listening, God will be speaking into our lives. Sometimes that speaking is just a yes, it's a green light. It's keep going on these good things that are happening and need to continue to happen. Sometimes it's a yellow light, it's a caution. It's saying slow down, pay attention, make sure of your next few steps. Sometimes it's a red light and it's saying stop, do not go this way. And sometimes it's a wall. Sometimes it's God saying, if you venture into that territory, you go there with risk. Great, great risk. But we need to truly open ourselves to God's deep leading if we're going to make progress in our spiritual journey. How many of us here would like to grow more in Christ? Would like to be more like Jesus and reflect him in our world? All right. Well, if we want to do that, then we need to allow the Spirit to work more deeply in our lives. That process of God working deeply in our lives, we call it sanctification. And that literally just means holification. It means the process of being made holy. And it begins the very first time God awakens your heart to your need for him. And you become a seeker and begin to seek out truth. That's God working and drawing you toward him. When you make that saving connection with Jesus Christ, it goes to another level. And the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life. And then when you get to the point where you're saying, Lord, I really do love you and I want all that you have for me. I don't just want a little God on the side, but I want to be a person who is living for God, who is living in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to be someone who loves my neighbor as myself. I want to be someone who is full of God. At that point, we begin to do what Jesus asked the disciples to do, to wait for the Spirit of God to come and to fill our lives. We call on God. We seek God. We want the fullness that God has to provide, and we wait for it because we really want it to happen. And there's so much more when we truly wait for God's power to fill us. And if you were with us last Sunday, you know that that's what Jesus asked the disciples to do, was to wait until they received power from on high. Well, as Jesus is talking to his disciples and we're getting closer to that moment when it's going to happen, he's wanting them to understand that there is a message that they need to convey and that the Holy Spirit is the one who will be leading them to understand the truth so that they can share it. He says, the Holy Spirit will testify to your hearts what I tell him to say, and then you will testify. And you need to testify because you have been with me and you have experienced me in the world. So there's a continuing message that will go on even though Jesus is ascending into heaven. But there's also a continuing mission, and that is the people of God testifying to the wonders and the grace of God. Just like we sang in the song this morning, the matchless grace divine. Amen. That wonderful, loving power has touched our lives and filled our lives and helped us to have the strength that we need, not only to cope with daily living, but to reach out in love in a dark world. And so, the disciples needed to remember Jesus' words. They didn't have the written Gospels yet. Thankfully, they did hold on to those words, and now we have written records of them. But the Spirit reminded them and led them to deeper understanding, beginning with the Scriptures. The disciples, we know, were empowered to testify about all that Jesus did. We have the book of Acts that tells us all about that. And then we have the encounters that they had with others on the mission field, and then with the Apostle Paul and his writings and some of the later letters from Peter and others. We know that this is exactly what the disciples who became the apostles went and did. And the source of the message and the source of power for their lives were one and the same, and that is the Holy Spirit. They waited in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost, and that day in and of itself was a great ancient feast that the Jews came together, Jews from around the world, came into the city to celebrate this wonderful festival. But the Spirit made it a day to remember for very different reasons. And now we think of the day of Pentecost not for the ceremonial events that were taking place that week, but we think about it because the Holy Spirit was poured out. Amen? Because the Spirit of truth had arrived to lead them. And it's amazing when you think about it. The Holy Spirit filled the lives of the disciples. It rested on them like a tongue of fire, it says in the text. And most importantly, it transformed them from merely being disciples to being apostles. Apostles are ones who were sent with the message of the gospel. Amen? And so that message was that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Son of God who became a man and was crucified for our sins, who was then raised up and ascended into heaven. And now he is Lord of all. And everyone who calls on his name, and what that phrase means is to repent of your sins, to confess that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Everyone who does this will be saved. Amen. And the Spirit showed up in a new way that day, and 3,000 people responded on that one day. They were busted out of their everyday lives and everyday concerns, and they were thrust into a whole new way of living as they embraced who Jesus was, and they saw what the Spirit could do in the life of the apostles. Well, the Spirit filled them and enabled them to speak the message in a way that others could understand and receive. And what they were testifying to was not their own power. They weren't testifying to the great things that they did. They were testifying to the power of Jesus. Amen? And people understood that. And they didn't feel judged by what the apostles were saying. They felt called into a new way of life. And they said, yes, that's what I'm hungry for. That's what I'm looking for. That's why I'm here, to be filled with God and to live a life of holy love in service to God and others. Well, that's powerful, and it's not just for people who lived long ago. We need to hear from God, and we need to live in the same way. The power of the Holy Spirit can fill us, ladies and gentlemen. Has the Holy Spirit filled your life? The Spirit is going to guide us into all truth if we open ourselves to all that God has for us. But there's a tricky part here. Because sometimes when people have been filled with the Holy Spirit initially, they forget to humble themselves. And there are people still around today who try to compare who's the most holy or who's the most filled with the Holy Spirit. And they begin to judge those around and begin to say, that one's in, that one's in, that one's not, that one's not. And this is not the purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But every few years, people like this rise up and try to claim they're the true holiness people, apart from everybody else. But that is not what the Spirit does in our lives. It does not lead us to judge others in that way. These people are not remembering Pentecost correctly. Because on that day, it wasn't a select few who were gathered together. It was anyone and anyone under the sun who had come to try to put God first. And because the message of Pentecost was about tearing down the walls that would have otherwise divided these people, walls of language and history and culture, it was about complete surrender to Jesus and losing yourself in the holy power of God. When you come out the other side of that experience, you don't have a clipboard and a measuring rod to look at other people. You have a heart of stone that's been turned into a heart of flesh. And the love of God is writ large upon it. You are filled with compassion. And you are done judging others. Judging is what the Pharisees did. The apostles presented a message of faith and hope and love. All you have to do is look at what changed in the heart of the Apostle Paul before his experience of the Holy Spirit and after. So friends, God is calling us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you've known Christ and you have walked with him, it's really not optional for you. It is the next step. It's the next phase to go into with God. So please, do surrender all to him. But then don't get ahead of God. But wait patiently for God to fill you. And then allow God to fill the lives of those around you as his love flows through you. And let the holy love of God flow through you in the true spirit of the day of Pentecost. A day when all kinds of people from all kinds of places who called on the name of the Lord were saved, and a day when all kinds of people were filled with the Holy Spirit and took that message around the world, and that's why you know about it, and that's why I know about it. Amen. Well, the Holy Spirit will testify to you in your heart about who Jesus is and all that he has for you. He will testify to you that you belong to him. If you don't have that inner sense of assurance, keep seeking it. Amen? Because that's what the Spirit has come to bring. And then he will help you to understand the scriptures. He'll help things begin to click in your mind. Now, we're not all scholars, right? That's not the point. But we need to understand enough from God's word to see the difference that it makes for our lives today, to understand the history of how God has worked, so we can see how God is working now. And you can then say a great big yes to God when you surrender fully to him. Then you can turn and tell people how the love of God changed your life. And I hope there are stories of victory, how you've overcome sin in your life, how he's helped you to have peace and joy in the midst of trials. And I hope you keep your focus on Jesus and on Jesus' power. Because if we start to think it's about us, we fall right back into trusting in the flesh again. And the arm of flesh will fail you. It's all about the work of the Holy Spirit. It's all about Jesus, who is all about the Father. Do you see all that humility there in how Jesus came? Since the Holy Spirit is humble and Jesus is humble, I know that truly being filled will make you humble also. So today we remember and we celebrate that special day of Pentecost from long ago, that day when Jesus, all of his promises about sending the Comforter, about sending an advocate, the promise of the Father of sending power from on high, power to make us witnesses, the day all that came true for the very first time. And it's been coming true in every generation since. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with what Paul writes about here in Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, and let's read this together. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. What an incredible prayer. And may that prayer be answered in your life. Has it already been answered? And are you living out of that reality still today? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, what an incredible calling to be your people. What an incredible grace that went to so much trouble so we could not only be forgiven, but we could be changed. Oh, Lord, you shared yourself with us, and yet at times we have turned away. Forgive us, Lord. What you have to offer us, we cannot get anywhere else. And when we are fully yielded to you and our walk with you is unhindered by stubbornness and unhindered by unhelpful patterns, and when we are filled with all the fullness of God, it's so much easier to make our way through. Life is still hard, but grace is sufficient. People around still present challenges to us at times, but we see better how to love them. And we don't have to get sidetracked by where they would slip us up or their mistakes would hurt us. Father, may we dwell in a place of leaning on you moment by moment, that there's nothing that the enemy can do to take away the joy that we have in you. Keep your heads bowed for just a moment. If you've never come to the place of fully surrendering your life and saying, Spirit, fill me. Fill me with all the fullness of God. Drive out any sin that remains, and bring with you fullness and power and love. Fill me with the holy love of God. If you've never taken that step, then this moment is for you, and you should take that step. If you're watching at home and this is you, then open your heart right now. For those of you who are here, is there anyone who's saying, this is my day and I need to take this step right now? Would you raise your hand this morning? Just a moment. And for those of you watching online, any of you, lift up your hand in some way, gesture where you are, to let God know that you're open to what he has for you now. And if there's anyone here who's taken this step, but things are not what they once were, and you need a fresh filling from God, it's time again to open your heart, to let some things go, to let more of God in. If that's you, open your heart also as I pray right now. Father, I ask that you'll come the way that you came on the day of Pentecost. I ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will visit us with your presence just now. And for the hearts that are yielded to you, Lord, and open and ready for you to come, would you come and make your home in a deeper way, in a more powerful way in the lives of these who need you, those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, those who want to know God, who want to be led into all truth, who want to live in that joy that the Spirit brings. Father, I pray that you will fill their lives just now with more of the Holy Spirit and with more of you. Lord, if it's the first time, let it be a moment to remember. Let it be a moment of surrender that is just cemented in you, that on this date, we opened our lives to you and we said yes to you and we experienced the fullness of your grace. And for some who need a refreshing in you this morning, Lord, may this be an important date, a turning point in the journey as we surrender all and we open ourselves fully to your sanctifying grace. And Father, perhaps there are some that, like the disciples, will need to keep waiting and keep lingering for a time as you are speaking and leading and making it clear to them. Prepare them for the moment when you will come and you will fill. We can't program that, Lord. We wait for it and we celebrate in advance all the good things that are going to flow into the lives of those who are seeking to be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, bless your church. Fill them with hope. Help them to see the future through your eyes and to understand you are making all things new and you're working it all together for good. So we praise you and we give thanks in that powerful name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. God is good. Keep walking closely with him. Allow the Spirit to fill you and lead you each day, and you'll experience the wonder of seeing, together with all the saints, what's the breadth and height and length and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. So let's stand together. Let's declare our faith before we go. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now go in the power of the Holy Spirit and live life in all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.